Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. And one of the things we emphasize quite often is the family jurisdiction, because the battle for freedom in our present day involves the family jurisdiction. And the state has worked very hard to achieve control over the family jurisdiction. Of course, this was happening between the state and the church at the founding of this nation some 400 years ago. And now the battle is over the family. The state is always interested in aggrandizing itself, increasing its power, and achieving more and more power over the church or the family.
Usurping the jurisdiction of other entities.
That's right. And ultimately, it's the Word of God that lays out the jurisdictional boundaries of the family. There are points at which the state should step over the jurisdictional boundaries of the family, yes. But that has to be laid out by God's word, by God's law. And that's one reason why I've published a book called Freedom, in which we lay out the boundaries of family, church, and state. The state needs to not control the church and the family in the ultimate sense. Of course, the socialist worldview assumes that the state is all-consuming, and the family and the church are both allowed to exist within and under the rubric of the state. But that's not our worldview. Our worldview is that God is all-consuming. God is the source of all things. God is the one that determines the jurisdictional boundaries of everything. And the state, the family, and the church may function within the jurisdictional boundaries that they've been given by Almighty God. Now, that, my friends, is a biblical worldview versus a socialist worldview. Well, of course, ultimately the devil wants complete control of the schools because he wants control over the minds and the hearts of each successive generation. And the state inevitably is going to press for this, especially in the modern day. And so the goal, of course, is that in these secularist countries, we see more and more materialistic thinking in which a Christian world and life view is eliminated from the public schools. And indeed, there are no alternatives allowed for Christian families. And that's what we've seen, Bill, in Germany or Sweden. They've basically persecuted the Christians out of their respective countries. There may be a couple of families left, but it seems to me that there's less and less that are able to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. These public schools do not allow for the fear of God being taught as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And the Christian families that remove their kids out of these schools are increasingly persecuted by the state.
We see that more and more as the state usurps the jurisdiction of the family. As you pointed out, the battle early on in the nation was a battle between church and state, and then it became a battle between state and family. And the state always wants to gobble up the authority. Nature abhors a vacuum. So does society. And so if the family is not exercising its jurisdiction, if the church is not exercising its proper jurisdiction, it leaves a void. And what happens is then one of the other jurisdictions steps in. In this case, it's the state. And so families need to take control for the proper jurisdiction they have over education. The church needs to take responsibility for caring for widows and orphans. And when they don't do things like that, the state will naturally come in and fill that void. So it is not we can just point our finger at the state and say they've exceeded their authority, because there are three fingers pointing back at us as families and as churches saying, wait, did you fulfill your obligations and your responsibility as the authority in this jurisdiction, or did you just abandon it? And when you abandon it, what happens is something else is going to fill that void.
Well, responsibilities and rights tend to be two sides of the same coin. Where there are responsibilities, God provides those rights. And we see less and less of that in places like Germany, Sweden, and now Norway. Norway is increasing its persecution of Christian families. Remember last year that Romanian Pentecostal family was persecuted in Norway. They had evidently immigrated to Norway, and they lost their five children to the state kidnappers. And the Romanian Pentecostal churches, they organized 50 marches or protests in 50 cities around the world. It was truly extraordinary. The faith of these churches, who were dead set to oppose the tyrannical state, was amazing. amongst these Romanian Pentecostals. I think much of it was because they had firsthand experience with tyranny under the Romanian dictator Ceausescu and previous generations. And so they organized marches in 50 cities around the world and made a tremendous impact. In fact, they were able to return, or they saw to the return of the five children to the Pentecostal family that had lost their kids to the authorities in Norway. Well, evidently now Norway authorities are doing the same thing all over again. They've kidnapped a 12-year-old son from a Christian family after the family decided to homeschool. And the Facebook video has been watched some 600,000 times already. HSLDA, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, has a petition now that has collected some 7,500 signatures. And hopefully we will see something of a reversal of that policy. We're going to talk about this more in just a moment on the Generations Podcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom, a biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. The Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. We discuss family jurisdictions and what happened in Norway with the kidnapping of a little 12-year-old boy from a family who had apparently moved from Canada to Norway. They had their son in the public schools. He was bullied in the public schools. They pulled him out. They began to homeschool him. And then the authorities showed up to arrest him. This is the video that was taken apparently real time as the kidnapping happened. And it's already received something like 600,000 views around the world. This is the mother crying out here.
There's police! Barnabarn is stealing our child! In Norway! Because we want a homeschool! We don't want him! He has had death threats at this Osgard school in Os! And they're punishing the family and the child for standing up to this oppressive state!
Well, that's pretty intense. That's the video that was taken real time as Barnabarn was removing the child, or apparently the child was running away at the time. As you take a look at the Facebook video, you find these two caseworkers are running after the child. They eventually sit on him and then they arrest him. So it was a traumatic experience for this family. I did a search for the Norwegian Child Welfare Service on the news feed on Google and found that apparently this is a real and present issue. Here's just examples that you find. Protests mount against Norwegian child welfare services. See cops chase, tackle 12-year-old for being homeschooled. Europe issues serious warning to Norway over child welfare services. Norway's Barnabarn, they took our four children, then the baby. It's another story. I think we just referred to that one. Norwegian woman seeks asylum in Poland, referring to some of the tyrannical efforts on the part of the Child Welfare Service. So there's a number of stories that relate to this online. But it's important for families to stand up against this kind of tyranny. And I think this has been a trend, Bill, in nations like Germany, Sweden, and Norway. They want absolute control over the children. Should be no surprise here, because it was Jean-Jacques Rousseau and it was the Prussians and others that were fighting very hard for the compulsory attendance laws in the 1820s and 1830s. It came to America in 1844, I believe. But this tyrannical approach to controlling the children is growing. It's not lessening any bit in places like Europe today.
No, and that, again, it's because once the state gets its toehold, it's not satisfied unless it has total dominance. And that's what's occurring.
Yeah. Well, the teachers, Christian teachers, not just Christian families like this Norwegian family that are being prosecuted because they attempted to homeschool their 12-year-old child, but it's also Christian teachers that are running into a similar problem. There's no dissent allowed in the modern secular socialist state. The secularists want this total control. They don't want a single child to miss out on complete secularization in a materialistic, evolutionary, humanist, man-centered type of religion. And now there's zero tolerance for Christian teachers as well.
Yeah.
This UK teacher, Svetlana Powell, she lost her appeal at the employment tribunal because she had a conversation on homosexuality in her public school classroom. And evidently a 17-year-old student asked her about evolution and homosexuality. And this teacher, Svetlana Powell, she responded by saying that it was her personal belief that homosexuality was against God's will, but assured the students that God loves every person no matter who they are. Then she was told that somebody in the class was lesbian, and she responded by telling the student, God loves you. And then she was further asked by the instigating student whether the lesbian student would go to hell, at which point she didn't answer that question and just said that there's a way of salvation provided through Jesus Christ to everybody. So that was the conversation. That's what happened.
And notice that she started off by saying that this is her personal opinion, and she was asked by a student of her opinion. Now, this is chilling, Kevin, because I, as an educator, understood that I cannot indoctrinate. I must educate students. But when asked my personal opinion of, say, who would win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't hesitate saying that. I wouldn't hesitate in asking my personal opinion on who I thought would win the candidacy for the local sheriff's office, who I would vote for. In my personal opinion, I can give my personal opinion. And so when they are saying that this teacher should be disciplined when asked by a student what the teacher's opinion is on a controversial issue, and it's clearly labeled opinion, that has a chilling effect on free speech. It has a chilling effect on education, because you cannot examine controversial ideas and examine both sides of that issue. That is not just over the pond. It happened in New Jersey with a teacher who was talking about homosexuality as being what she called a sin and likened it to a cancer on her Facebook page.
So it wasn't in the class.
Was not in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And yet she faced 7 years of a legal battle in which she finally just decided, okay, I'll agree to a 3-year suspension of my teaching certificate. Now, what's really sad about this is that her husband sat down with a local news station, and her husband, speaking on her behalf, said everyone's entitled to their own opinion. They're vilifying her. If they knew her, they would not do that, end quote. And then in the lawsuit filed, a federal lawsuit claiming official school officials had violated her free speech and religious rights, the lawsuit stated, quote, that she was being persecuted, quote, for her personal opinion, and it had nothing to do with her work, end quote. Now, that makes me nervous, because personal opinions do have everything to do with one's work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger of the secular state institution of education today. And that is, we try to separate the sacred from the secular. It's a false dichotomy. We're saying, oh, education, you can't bring anything about your personal beliefs into it. Well, my personal beliefs determine how I dress. My personal beliefs determine how I address my students. Mm-hmm. My personal opinions and my personal beliefs determine whether or not I'm going to say cheating is right or wrong in the classroom. Education by nature is religious, because it conveys values. And that is why the state should not be involved in education at all. We need to tear it down, and we need to return the jurisdiction of education to the family.
You're talking about the more fundamental issue, and that is that, yes, religion is going to be inevitably expressed in every form of education. And those religious schools that are called secularistic, materialistic schools will have certain basic worldview presuppositions that they will not compromise upon. And everybody who takes on a position in those public schools are going to have to maintain strong orthodoxy on those basic presuppositions. And that includes, evidently now, the sin of homosexuality appears to be one of the most incontrovertible, most important, most significant fundamental presuppositions in the worldview construct of the modern public schools. I'm not sure why, but apparently it's essential dry rot in the foundations of modern education. So, yeah, I think that the answer is to eliminate the idea of government-funded schooling and return the jurisdictional responsibilities of education to the sphere of the family. That's the ultimate goal. And it also appears that Christian teachers will be less and less likely to be able to speak or to teach in the public schools, at least if they hold two very basic Christian tenets.
And I'm going to go a step further. What's happening now is that Christian teachers in the secular schools are enabling the system to continue because they are agreeing to be silent on fundamental issues. And so we will not just have our teaching certificates of Christian teachers suspended. We will have the elimination of all Christians from the system altogether. And Christians need to get louder. Christians need to get very loud on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, what we want is that Christian families would raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they would see that now is the time to bring a distinctively Christian approach to education to our children. And that's why we do a Christian curriculum project and the Christian worldview curriculum available at our website, in order that Christians increasingly would give their children a foundation, a biblical foundation, in their education of their children. I want to end on this one note also. This ties in somewhat to what we've just been talking about. Increasingly, Christians are not going to be allowed to interact much in the public schools. They're not going to be allowed to interact much in public culture or perhaps even in business. This appears to be the direction that the nation is going right now. Jimmy Kimmel did a skit on his night program, I think on NBC. Is Jimmy Kimmel the NBC guy?
No,
he's not.
That's a good question. But he's one of the three major network late night talk show hosts.
All right. So Jimmy Kimmel did this skit ridiculing Christian bakers, and the Family Research Council calls it inaccurate. But here's what he did. He acted as a waiter waiting on various customers at a fictional restaurant. And before taking their order, Kimmel asked them if any of the four patrons seated at the table were homosexual. And when one woman affirmed that she was homosexual, Kimmel says she will not be able to order a signature salad because of the salad chef's religious belief that homosexuality is a sin. So that's what he set up. It was supposed to be some of a comic representation of Christians. But sadly, Kimmel was not thinking critically about these things. And I don't think his audience was thinking critically either.
I think it was deliberate on the part of Kimmel and the writers for his show to distort and pervert the issue. And so it was a total distortion of the issue of rights of conscience and the ability that an owner of a business can conduct his business as he pleases. Now, we're not talking about discrimination, random, unjustifiable discrimination, okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about somebody who says, I have a problem participating in an event that is a violation of my conscience.
The difference here, Bill, is on the one hand, it's the Christian going out of his way to torment the homosexual versus the homosexual going out of his way to torment the Christian. And of course, that's what Kimmel's doing here. He's going out of his way to torment Christians versus a Christian going out of his way to torment homosexuals. And we're not intending to do that. That's not what Christians are to do.
Right.
In fact, Scripture bears this out very specifically, that Christians are just encouraged not to participate in pagan ceremonies where food is offered to idols. Yet there's a don't ask, don't tell policy when we're not involved in pagan ceremonies, but we're just eating in a restaurant. And that's what you get in 1 Corinthians 10:23. By the way, Kimmel says he's a church-going Christian. Believe it or not. So evidently he hasn't picked up on this, or he's been manipulated by his writers. But again, the Bible distinguishes between participating in pagan ceremonies, that is, eating the food offered to idols and implicitly approving of the behavior involved in the pagan ceremony, versus the don't ask, don't tell anonymous experience you have at restaurants or in the marketplace. And that's precisely the way Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 10:23, when he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. In other words, don't ask questions whether the person doing this was tied up in some pagan ceremony or was a homosexual or what have you. He says, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. So again, it's a don't ask, don't tell policy as relating to the food. But if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, that you would not give implicit approval of his own behavior. Because when he is presenting himself in his ritual and he's saying, this is a pagan ritual, I want you to participate in it right now, what's he asking for? He's asking for implicit approval of his behavior. And see, we don't want to do that.
And see, that's where Kimmel and his writers get it all convoluted. Because in the case of Jack Phillips, the baker, he didn't refuse to serve the client. He refused to participate in an event that was a violation of his conscience. For example, Kevin, I come into your lumberyard and I say, I want to buy a pound of nails. You tell me, get out of here. I don't like the color of your shirt. I'm not going to sell anybody who wears a shirt like that a pound of nails. Everybody recognizes that's unjust discrimination.
Sinful. That's sinful. Mm-hmm.
But as opposed to me coming into your lumberyard and saying, Kevin, I want you to build me a torture chamber in my basement so I can torture puppies. Mm-hmm. And you look at me and say, no, I don't think I want to participate in that. Now we have a disagreement. Mm-hmm. There's a clear distinction between unjust discrimination and a disagreement. And what Jack Phillips had with the homosexual couple that came in and said, we want you to bake a wedding cake for our same-sex marriage, he had a disagreement with participating in that event. He has a right of conscience, which is even more fundamental, from which, by the way, freedom of religious rights flow. The atheist, the atheist concert provider, should he be forced to provide the staging and the setting for a Christian concert? No. Or the atheist who says, I don't want to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding because I just don't agree with it. I don't have any animus towards them. I just don't agree with it. Should he be forced to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding? You see, if it's going to be applied equitably, then this is a burdensome law and a burdensome position that nobody would agree. And yet we're applying it to a group of people called Christians. And so that's what's happening in our culture. I believe in liberty for all, not liberty for some. If we don't have liberty for all, we have liberty for none. Jimmy Kimmel distorted the issue by portraying a waiter who seeks, first of all, to find out if the client is homosexual or lesbian, and then he refuses service. That's absurd, and everybody knows it's absurd. Because Jack Phillips, for example, a baker, has homosexual clients who come in regularly and purchase ready-made goods. They are defending Jack Phillips. They say what's happening to him is unjust. You see, Jack Phillips is not refusing to serve a class of people. He's refusing to participate in an event that's a violation of his conscience. And Christians don't understand this issue very well.
What we're seeing is an increasing aggression against Christians in the public sphere. There's no question about that. The biggest concern, of course, for us is that there's increasing aggression against the Christian world and life view in schools. And so we come back to this again and again. As Christians, we're responsible to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And education itself in the public schools is destroying itself because there is no solid foundation. The foundation of all of knowledge and wisdom must be the fear of God. You walk into the public schools, the average public school, and you ask the question, is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge taught to be the fear of God in this institution. They will tell you, no, we don't teach that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God, the reverence for God, the worship of God, and gratitude towards God. We don't teach that at this school.
Then flee that school.
Just get out. Yeah, get away from it. And what we want to do is we want to come back to the Word of God as the basic foundation. Jesus said, if you don't build your house upon the rock, you build your house upon the sand, when the storms come and the floods rise, that house will come down and great will be the destruction thereof. And that, my friends, is going to happen to every system that does not build itself on the solid foundation of the Word of God. And that's why the Bible Conference, as it applies to the family, and as it applies to education, and as it applies to, well, every area of life, is going to be a conference that I think will be of great value to those who attend it this August. We are sponsoring the Family Bible Conference in Washington, D.C., the week of August 7th, and we encourage you to consider building your family on the rock and to come to our conference that you might discover more and more about that. At our conference, we're going to get down to the most fundamental issues for every Christian family in this country at this conference. And we have invited Ken Ham, Ray Comfort, Steve Green, and others to attend the conference. So check out our Family Bible Conference in Washington, D.C. at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.